Did you freeze or are you just sitting there? Okay. I'm just making sure you're ready.
Play your sounds, buddy. I gotta stop talking.
You've literally had an entire podcast unrecorded. And so now I figure we can do a recording.
Whose fault is that?
I told you we weren't recording. I told you.
I figured you started.
I didn't. Because there was really no, because as you said, you were all over the place, so there was no place to start a podcast. There was no place to press record.
Just let it happen, Pearl. You just let it happen, man.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan.
I don't even want to play anything right now. Like we spent so much time talking. I just want to keep talking. I just want to keep talking about wrestling. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
Just keep talking about wrestling.
That's what we can do. There's all kinds of weird shit going on
wrestling
too. Okay.
All right. So let's. Fuck. I don't even know where to start now with everything that you were talking about off air. So. I know you watched Raw. You've kept up on some of those things. Obviously, we were gone last week. Patrick O'Dowd went out of town. I ended up having to do something. Oh, I was. You don't even know that my air conditioning broke. Like, I was.
Oh, that's sad for you.
I spent
in
2 days.
Arizona?
Yeah, I know. We spent 2 days in a hotel. Three days, 2 nights in a hotel last week, as they were getting the part they needed to fix the AC. So, yeah,
wow.
My son refused, my son refused and hung out the house. We come home to. I think we came home on Wednesday. After checking out of the hotel, he's sitting on his floor playing video games with like no shirt on. He's just like, nice.
I think it's so crazy because while most of the country is like melting, I woke up to 49 degree weather today.
Nice.
We had a high of 72. Now,
that's below our low, right? I think our low is 81 right now. It's
right.
Pretty crazy.
The weather is turning later this week. It'll actually feel like summer again. But like
okay.
it's been like 50 degrees every morning. Like drive with the windows down all day.
So today's high is 110, although it was 111 when I was in the car earlier. Low of 76. Currently 106.
Brutal, 106 right now. Damn.
And you know, I was outside earlier and it did not feel that bad. I don't know.
You know, I've said this every time I come to visit you, and I know you live out there, so you're used to it. Every time I come to visit, it's bullshit, man. It's fucking hot as Hades out there.
If you do come in November, like you've talked about, it's not going to be that hot in November.
Oh, I think it's basically a done deal. I just got to confirm that I have a bed to sleep on. Do I have a bed to sleep on, Greg, if I come
You have
visit?
A bed to sleep. My son won't live here anymore at that point. I mean, he will
Sweet.
Still have his room, but he will be in Nebraska for college. So, therefore, nice. you would have a bed to sleep on. And
right. and really, all we got to work out is the days and how much I'm willing to help you with setup.
well, that will be a thing. We have a crew now. We have a setup. We have a paid setup crew now for our IZW wrestling events, is what Patrick Dowd is alluding to. And you know, cheap plug, just because the reason why Patrick is talking about what brought up the possibility of Patrick coming to visit in November is because on November 16th, IZW wrestling out here in Arizona, you know, I do the wrestling thing. We were lucky enough to obtain the services of one Nick Nemeth. The former Dolph Ziggler will be wrestling for IZW on November 16th. It's absurd. It doesn't even seem real. Tickets are, as you listen to this, tickets have gone. Well, tickets go on sale at 9 a.m. Wednesday, June 12th. So tomorrow as we're recording this, today as you're listening to it. Who knows when you're listening to it, but.
Right.
So Wednesday, June 12th, the instance we're plugging now, it is a ticket signing combo. So we do have the combo tickets that will be on sale where you can do the Dolph Ziggler. It's so hard. The Nick Nemeth signing in the afternoon at 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles. And then your front row VIP ticket to IZW. Looks That Kill is the name of the event that he will be performing on later that night, again on Saturday, November 16th. We have the combo tickets available. We have the front row VIP tickets available as well. But the combo tickets, of course, come with the big discount. So those are the ones that you want to get so that you can enjoy your signing, your meet and greet with Nick Nemeth, and then, of course, see him in action. And what will be a hell of a match. I'm not going to tell you what the match is, but
because,
you know, no, it's scoops, wrestling.
No scoops for the show?
It's wrestling, and this thing's 5 months away. So, yeah, can't really
that's
do
right,
that.
That's right.
But it will definitely be worthwhile. I will say getting to make the phone call to be like your wrestling Nick Nemeth was a lot of fun. And I refused to send it in a message. I messaged them and I was just like, you need to call me. And then when they did call me and it's like, hey, yeah, your lifelong dream of a match like this is going to come true. So that's cool to get to do something like that.
That's lots cool. Of, almost as cool as taking Liv Morgan's room key. So
I'm telling you, man, the Finn is in. Finn Balor and Liv Morgan are behind this.
Yeah, I think
this,
I'm with you. It's cahoots.
Finn and Liv are in cahoots. They're trying to implode the Judgment Day. And some of it is WWE storytelling these days does teeter on the too long sometimes, like, let's be honest. But it's they're letting it play out, and I think it's fine. I like it.
Did you actually see and screen cap that, or did somebody else screen cap it and you share it with the chair shot?
Somebody else.
Because I didn't notice. Like,
I didn't notice it either. And then later, there's actually somebody who literally posted the video 23 hours ago, so shortly after it happened. The video where you see him reach down, grab it, slide it off table, put it in his pocket. So, yeah. And what we are referring to, of course, is Liv Morgan's hotel room key that she gave to Dominic Mysterio that he threw on the table that later Finn Balor picked up and put in his jacket pocket. So that's and in one of those prior video, you know, behind the interview things that were going on, she was not seen with Dom. She was seen coming out of like the Judgment Day's vehicle. And one time she was seen walking away from somewhere. And then later Finn Balor was seen walking away from that somewhere.
Right.
So
they're setting it up.
They've been setting this up for a while. Now they're just laying down the next step in the progression, which is it's actually Liv and Finn Balor, which means Dom's going to have to convince Rhea that he wasn't doing anything, that he didn't want to do anything. That's going to be a whole layer to the story when Rhea Ripley comes back. Finn turning on Damian Priest could happen as soon as this weekend. You just never know, as we do have Clash at the Castle in Scotland this weekend. So although the Judgment Day is banned from ringside, so who knows? But yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. So.
Yeah, as somebody who doesn't watch regularly,
mm-hmm.
that story was a lot of fun to walk in on.
It's a good story. It's being done well.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan's a star. I know a lot of people like don't like to give Liv Morgan a lot of credit and don't think she's that star level.
Yeah, she's worked so hard to.
She was ready like a year ago. I mean, right. She's been fine. And she got hurt, and then of course Rhea got hurt, and lots of people got hurt, but. Well, I think the storyline really would still be playing out, even if
right.
Rhea hadn't gotten hurt. I think that Liv just might not be
able to. They're still taking a bad situation and making, you know, lemonade out of the lemon. Even if that was the story all along, like that they've been able to keep it going, keep it working without Rhea there, is a testament to the other parties that are working the angle.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I think it's been good, and it's been highly enjoyable. Kind of the best part of Damian Priest's reign as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I'm not going to lie, and this is so stupid. I don't know that I'm feeling either world champion right now.
It's June, dude.
I know,
feeling the world champion in June.
Should we feel that way about Cody, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's the WrestleMania problem. Like it's a classic WrestleMania problem when the white meat babyface wins the championship. And to quote one of our favorite commentators or editorial guys, however you want to describe him, Eric Bischoff, great. Now what? And part of this feels like they didn't really have an immediate now what in place. And, you know, he and AJ had a banger of a match. And then they wanted to keep it going a little bit.
Right.
But they you know, they pulled the Mark Henry, John Cena fake retirement angle attack thing. Like, just the story, part of the problem isn't just Cody and Cody's character and not being excited as a baby. The other part of it is the WWE didn't really knock us out of the park with something for Cody to do or have to face. And honestly, like, as we play the if I were the booker,
right,
like, it's there is kind of a void as to who makes sense to take on Cody after this victory. I would have argued that I know why they didn't, but somebody from the Bloodline would have made more sense to me as a doing this for Roman sort of thing. I know why they didn't. You know, you've got Solo doing this thing. You're really establishing that. You're introducing all these new guys to the Bloodline to keep the Bloodline fresh, and you're trying to build that way. But that logically kind of flows into, you know, a sub story out of WrestleMania that I think would have been more compelling than, hey, AJ Styles is getting up there in years and is doing this kind of last run, I need the title because I'm better than you sort of thing, that I think folks would have been behind it had there been a little bit more build to it, but there wasn't really a lot of build to it. It just sort of started. And, you know,
and we had to wait a couple weeks for the draft to take place, and then we went into Backlash. Like, it was just weird. Like, the post-WrestleMania flow doesn't really flow. And that, I think, to me, is a big part of the problem. And plus, AJ lost. He lost to LA Knight at WrestleMania and then turns around and gets two shots at Cody. Like, maybe it should have been LA Knight. Right. Perhaps. And I don't mind AJ getting two shots at Cody. I think it's good. It's just, I don't know, a little strange. And then Damian Priest doesn't even defend his title at King and Queen of the Ring. And then, but Cody's on everything. It's just they're shoving Cody down our throat like they're doing it. And that's, you know, is what it is. It's what people have complained about with other people, but not with Cody. And Cody just, he's kind of goofy. Like, he's high class suit wearing, but I don't know that he's really that. It almost looks like he's pretending.
Right. You've said that before too.
Like, have I really?
This isn't the first time you've kind of noted this about Cody. Like, that he, like, not that he's playing wrestler, but
no, he's not playing wrestler. He's a wrestler,
but he's playing a certain type.
Yeah, like, it's weird too because I don't even know that he's. I don't even know that he's playing a character. I think he's playing a certain type of person in his life, and because I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between Cody the guy and Cody the wrestler at this point.
It's not a very deep character.
No, it's not. It's just, I'm going to wear suits. And he, like, wants to feel like every man, but he also wants to feel like he's rich. If that makes sense. See, like, you can't be both.
And as bad as it sounds, you got to pick a lane. Like, you can be a high class champion and be a face. Like, you don't have to be Ric Flair.
Right.
But when you're trying to be like, I'm one of you,
you're not,
and you're showing up and you're showing up in tailored suits, you know, with your weird neck tattoo, it doesn't work.
The neck tattoo is a problem too. Like, it's just probably the worst decision he's made in his entire life.
He wears the suits so that he's got that high collar.
It still shows the tattoo. Like, that's how bad the tattoo is.
You only have to really see it when he wrestles.
We all know it's there. We all know it's there, though.
We do know it's there. Yeah,
it was a poor decision. We've all made poor decisions. You've made poor decisions. I've made poor decisions. They don't show on our neck 24/7.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think of the two champions, Damian Priest has got the more interesting stuff to do right now.
And but even him, like, does he feel like a world champion?
Well, he wasn't really put in a place to allow you to feel like he was a world champion. Like, this is a fundamental problem. Like, I think I've hit the point where I don't like Money in the Bank anymore. I like the match,
right?
But I don't like it as a device because it's used in such a way that, and it's interesting because Priest had the briefcase for so long, but it's used the same way no matter how long anyone has it. Very rarely, and you can name them on one hand, do you have a time where somebody wins a contract that they then build a match towards and like it's announced as a thing. Like it's so much about
the It's been like maybe three times that's happened.
Yeah, like the spontaneous cash in is just so emblematic of it. So you end up then giving it to a guy who maybe you do want to elevate, but it doesn't feel like an earned elevation necessarily. Because honestly, when you look at winning Money in the Bank, like if you look at it objectively and say you are watching this as a real thing, like not a story, it's a fluky way to win a title shot, right? Like it's like winning the Royal Rumble is a fluky way to win a title shot. And so, you know, even if it was something as simple as like, if you're going to use money in the bank, it's going to continue to be a thing. I need more than upper mid card guy just looking to get his first shot, because upper mid card guy that we're looking to push forward, winning Money in the Bank has not turned out to be that then solidifying top guy thing more often than not. You know, there are exceptions. Seth Rollins, absolutely an exception. Cash in, big fucking deal.
But nine years ago, though, like that's the thing.
Right. But like Otis is look at Otis. He didn't even keep his briefcase. He lost his briefcase.
Yeah.
You know, Damian Priest doesn't feel like a big deal right now. Like we watched Jack Swagger not grab the briefcase
right
the first try. And he didn't become a big deal. Like you know, even Rob Van Dam fucked it up.
Right.
But Rob Van Dam, like it was big for a while and now it's 20 years later. And it's dull and it's routine and it doesn't hold the same magic as the Royal Rumble. And so it feels unearned. It doesn't feel like anything you really build toward. It's always something that's like, when are they going to cash it in? They tease it, then maybe they do it. And then when they finally do it, it's like, okay, great. Yay. Oh my God. Hell, even Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz.
Right.
Yeah, the Miz worked out. The Miz worked out fine. He's fine. I'll take that one back. But like,
you know, Ziggler worked out too. Like Ziggler worked out too. Dolph Ziggler worked out.
Kinda.
Not the same level as the Miz, but like his moment was huge, and he's a 2-time world champion. And I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, like a legitimate Hall of Famer, not everyone gets in Hall of Famer.
But is he's a legitimate Hall of Famer? Not in the sense like, but when you're talking about. Because I will argue, it's an argument of elevation and where you put a guy.
Right.
Like, we don't see this guy who has won the title via Money in the Bank as really that legitimate of a guy or that great of a champion right now. And that's the fault of the WWE and its creative team as much as anything. It's not necessarily – I mean, part of it is that Damian Priest is just a guy. Like, he's not a man. He's a guy. And that doesn't help. And I'm sorry, Damian Priest fans out there. Like, go back to the archives. Check out our episode on men versus guys and women versus – I don't even remember what we called women.
We had gals. We had chicks. We had girls. We had all of it.
So
– I mean, Finn Balor is still the most believable member of the Judgment Day.
Right. And I'll be interested to see why he's blowing it up. If it's that he's sick of what Judgment Day has become – and he's blowing it up, and him and Liv are going to take it over. That he got tired, like he got tired of being passed by Rhea, and now Damian. Like now that everybody seems to be taking turns, or that he's just sick of Dominic shit, right? Like that he only listened to Dominic because Rhea was there, kind of vouching for it, and that sort of thing. Like there's so many different ways they can go with it. That's interesting, and you're right. Like Finn, who, you know, really took it over in the first place when he cannibalized Edge, like, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does.
To get it back. To get it back.
Yeah. I mean, they had to let him in. You know, they let him in after the whole Edge, you know, with the whole Edge thing. And Priest was already in it, and Rhea Ripley was already in it. But it's – and even the whole JD McDonagh thing, like, he's the damn MVP of the group. Like, if you watch their matches, like, he's the one – he's pulling most of the weight, especially with Dom being hurt and Finn being Finn. But it's just interesting because Finn Balor, to me, is still of the group is the most believable world champion. And it's just a weird time period. And I think that's what it's going to be like, you know, to not try to overanalyze it. I think we'll look at it eventually. It's just, it was just a weird time period in wrestling. And I don't think these people who are champion now are going to be the ones that we look at. Although I think they're pretty committed to Cody. And that I think is also part of the problem. Now, I don't think that them being committed to Cody is part of the problem. We often say that predictable isn't bad, but just like wins and losses don't matter except for when wins and losses matter, predictable isn't bad except for when predictable is bad. Like, right. A lot of the Cody stuff was too predictable. The Damian Priest stuff was too predictable. And when they drag their storytelling out so long, you kind of figure out what's going to happen before it happens, and you take away that element of surprise from 90% of your storytelling. To the point where the most intriguing thing in the you know, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable storyline is the status of Chad Gable's contract. It's and they haven't even mentioned that on air, as far as I know. I don't believe they have.
We are very obsessed with contracts right now out here in the internet wrestling
community. Well, because AEW exists. That's why we're obsessed with contracts.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, but I don't know that you are. I don't know that I am. I don't care if somebody doesn't resign, like, or chooses. Like, I like Ricochet. I enjoy watching his matches. He is a lot of fun. I don't think that the WWE got the most out of him necessarily. But he wasn't happy. He's leaving. He's going to go to AEW, I'm assuming, and we'll be fine. But it's a change where I'll get to work how he used to work, and people will say that that's him being set free, even though he'll be, in my opinion, forgotten, and pushed down a card 3 months after he gets there.
I'm not 100% certain he's going to go to AEW. I'm really not.
He might not either. He may even resign. Who knows?
His deal's not up till August. Like, they wrote him out, but there's still a good 6 or so weeks where they can negotiate and figure something out. So I don't necessarily know that he's gone. Even though people are reporting, and Mike Johnson's pretty reliable, but people are reporting he informed WWE he intends to leave. That's also part of negotiation. Like, that's like players deleting every reference to their football team off their Instagram account. And then saying they're not re-signing with that team. And then 2 weeks later, they've re-signed with that team. It's you know, it all comes down to dollars and cents and what's going to make you happy. For Ricochet, he was one that was born out of the indies. I mean, he worked everything. Like, the only reason he didn't work Ring of Honor was because of his Lucha Underground contract and the way those were written and screwed over a lot of the Lucha Underground talent at the time, which some people literally had to sue to get out of. But he could be the guy who goes to GCW. Because GCW would love him and all the stuff that he does. And they run almost every damn weekend. So it's like he can do plenty of work there.
So he'd be working,
He can go to Japan. He can go to Mexico. He can go to TNA. He can basically do the Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali isn't even signed to TNA and is their X Division champion. And so Ricochet could do that.
He's quite fun to watch as their X Division champion, by the way.
What's that?
And he's quite fun to watch as their X Division champion, by the way.
So Ricochet could do a ton of stuff without going. And if his problem is the way he's being used or the amount that he's being used, he's not going to like AEW because half their wrestlers don't wrestle very often. Or maybe that is what he wants. Maybe because of his style, he wants more time to rest. Who knows? Maybe he just wants to have that match with Will Ospreay and then move on. He could wrestle as an independent, make a couple appearances of AEW, Matt Cardona has appeared for AEW more than once, and he's not under contract. And then show up at the Royal Rumble. Like right. There's tons that Ricochet could do. You know, he's based out of Las Vegas, so travel's not an issue. It's very easy to travel in and out of Las Vegas. He could do almost anything. It's just this general assumption that he's going to go to AEW is what I don't really buy into, because I don't think that's going to be the case, at least not right away. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does.
Right.
Who the fuck knows? If so, good for him, because he'll probably make a lot of money, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly you can make a lot of money going to AEW then, if contract rumors are true.
Yeah, and that's fine. Absolutely yeah. fine.
I'm not particularly concerned about Ricochet or where he goes. I'm not particularly concerned about Chad Gable and where he goes or doesn't go. Like, one, it sounds like he's not going anywhere.
There's some belief that he may have already resigned.
Speculation.
So.
Yeah.
Who knows? And that's a possibility for a lot of these people that sign right. and resign and do whatever. Like, who knows? It's right. just... But going, you know, we talked about Ricochet, we talked about all these things. I just feel like, I don't know. I sometimes feel like the storytelling is a little bit lacking in WWE right
now.
It's very
paint by numbers.
It is. You're right.
It's very like, so I haven't watched an episode of Raw or SmackDown since WrestleMania until today. And this was something I actually enjoyed about wrestling back when I would get back into it. You know, like back when I met you a million years ago, the thing that was really nice and is comfortable
about
also the thing that can be its downfall in that it's really easy to along.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And we're back. So we lost Patrick for a moment there due to some technical issues. Now we are back. That was at literally, I'm going to write that down. That's where we're going to put the commercial, Patrick Redoubt. So welcome back from commercial, everybody. That makes perfect sense. So what Patrick was talking about was how WWE has largely felt like paint-by-numbers booking. And you talked about how when you got back into wrestling, one of the things that you liked about it, and then... That was
is that because their booking is so paint by numbers that you really don't need to know who people are right away. You don't really need too much to sit down and be like, I understand exactly what's happening. I can see where this is going. That is a good thing for a mass audience. It is not a good thing for a discerning audience that is looking for something more. And that's all. And here's the thing is I to bring this all the way back to where we started with this whole champion talk, always seems to be a problem in the summer where you're trying to try some new people out to get them moving forward in their career and see what you've actually got. But you give them stories that we all recognize and know where they're going. And so it's nice. But and AEW is no better, by the way. Like AEW is no better from the stories I've seen. It's the same stories. Like wrestling uses the same stories over and over and over again. But that only holds you for so long. I think that's why I wax and wane in and out, because most of the time when I'm watching wrestling, the questions I have are usually like, who's the champion? Is he, you know, a good guy or a bad guy? And what is there like? What which of the storylines are we going with right now? You know, we just got out of a dominant right. villain storyline, like that. That was the thing. Now we're in, you know, the White Knight, good guy. Basically, Ricky Steamboat is champion right now in one brand, and then you have kind of a slimy heel that sort of is just
this
That's
is
the bigger problem with that one.
I know, right? Because Damian Priest almost wants to be a face, but isn't.
Right.
Like he even in his argument with in the promo about the match on Raw where Finn Balor would wrestle Drew McIntyre, and if Finn wins, Judgment Day gets to be there. Priest immediately says, "I don't need them there. I just want to give them the honor of watching me beat you." Like, what is that? Like, that was the dumbest sounding thing to me when I heard that promo. Even Finn had this look on his face like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Now, that could be storytelling. Who knows?
That story, like, that's the best story is the group coming apart.
But it's just too, sometimes it's too subtle. And it's right. too drawn out. And that's part of the problem with the WWE storytelling. Well, and we like so long-term stories.
How long has this subtle story been going on here, really, with Finn? Like, the element of Finn and Liv.
The element of Finn... Well, the Finn element has been there since, like, the fall.
Yeah.
With Finn and teasing dissension and all of that with the Judgment Day. People thought the Judgment Day was going to turn on Finn for the longest time. Then they thought they were going to turn on Priest for the longest time. And here we are. We're all still together. No one's turned on anybody, but we still think it's going to happen. So it's kind of been this underlying thing for a while, the teasing dissension within the Judgment Day. So I don't really know like what all is going to happen. But when Triple H first took over, we talked about this. When Triple H first took over, he got to do a lot of cool things, right? He brought back Bayley with Io Sky and Dakota Kai, and they formed Damage Control, and you know, he pushed different people and he had different things going on. But we even said, we were like, okay, you know, and that's when like Bronson Reed came back and all these different people came back for a while there. We're like, okay, what's gonna happen when he runs out of those surprises? Like, we asked that question. And now we're seeing what's gonna happen when he runs out of those surprises. And Sami Zayn even said in an interview, he was like, because the long-term storytelling is such a focus on the company right now, if you're not part of their 2-year plan to be world champion, you're not going to be world champion. That opportunity is not right. going to be there. Almost making it, I don't think this was his intention, but to me it sounds like it's too set, too inflexible. Like, you've got to work with what's possible. And so that's why... I don't. I just think they've kind of lost some of that element of surprise. Like, at this point, if the Alpha Academy sticks with Chad Gable because they're family, no one's going to be wowed. If the Alpha Academy turns on Chad Gable, no one's going to be wowed. Like, literally, there's almost nothing that can happen in that storyline.
But people definitely want Otis to beat the shit out of Chad Gable.
They do. They do. But if he, but so when he does. They'll pop for it, but will they pop for it as much as they would have 2 weeks ago when Maybe he was not. About to whip him with a belt? Like, or
that's
will,
fair, that's fair.
You know, it's like you've got to strike at the right moment. And I just think that maybe that's the – I don't know that the stories are bad and the storytelling isn't bad. I don't know if it's been the best execution of these good stories. Like, I think the stories are good, but timing is everything. Timing and delivery. True. Like, I've been a stand-up comic. Like, timing and delivery can make an okay joke really funny, and bad timing and delivery can make a great joke not so funny. And it really is all about the timing and delivery, and I don't know that they really have a good handle on that. I feel like NXT has a better handle on the time and delivery than WWE does right now.
I mean,
proper.
Consider the guys.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's Triple H and it's Shawn Michaels.
Like, and they're boys.
Yeah.
But of the two, Shawn is always I mean, he's always been he's been a character and a personality.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. 100% right. I want to go. We talked about NXT a little bit off air before we started going on, and there's a lot going on with NXT. And there's two things I want to talk about with NXT. Obviously, we've had the crossover with TNA. People expect that to continue. Cody teased it a little bit on NXT tonight, Tuesday, June 11th, as we're recording this. So, about the Battle Royal next week for a shot at Trick, that there may be some people from other locker rooms. Now, other locker rooms could mean Raw and SmackDown. They don't have to mean TNA. Yes. Everyone's going to assume they mean TNA because of the partnerships going on. But Moose, the current TNA world champion, recently made some comments about the potential NXT crossover. And I want to talk about these. You and I witnessed Moose once in Las Vegas. doing something that, to me, did not paint Moose in a very good way. And I'll just point out, that's back when Tessa Blanchard was the TNA, or the Impact Wrestling World Champion. So, Moose discusses possibly appearing in WWE. I don't know if there's anybody in NXT that is capable of beating me. Now, in character, I don't think there's anything wrong with him saying that.
Right.
Just to point that out. So for them to make it worth their while, they might want to bring me to SmackDown or Raw. I've beat McIntyre. I've beat Bobby Lashley. Am I going to wrestle Wesley? We lost Patrick O'Dowd again. Is he back? I think he's back.
I'm back. I don't know what's going on, bro.
Yeah, you just dropped right the hell off right there.
Well, I hung up because you froze again and I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
All right, so I'll go back and restart the quote. I don't know if there's anybody in NXT that is capable of beating me. You heard that part. So for them to make it worth their while, they might want to bring me into SmackDown or Raw. I've beat McIntyre. I've beat Bobby Lashley. Am I going to wrestle Wesley? Come on. There's great wrestlers in NXT, don't get me wrong, but I've already beaten the guys there on the main roster. They're superstars. I don't think they would want me to damage the careers of their young puppies. So I think for me, it's bring me in, let me play with the top dogs. That's what my mindset is. Again, in character versus not in character, I don't know. But at the same time, I kind of feel like the partnership is NXT and TNA. Like, Jordan Grace's jacket literally said NXT TNA. Like,
right.
I don't think the partnership is the main roster. Because it does nothing for WWE to have the partnership on the main roster. It doesn't do a ton for WWE, for NXT to have the partnership, to be completely honest with you. Like, NXT is now beating Dynamite in the ratings. Like, that's where we're at. So, it's and they're clicking on all cylinders. But for Moose, like, and he, I could see him wanting to go in and be on the main roster, but at the same time, like, I just don't think that's there.
No, I don't. That quote strikes me as someone who fanboyed a little bit too hard on himself in whatever the context is.
Like, right.
And this is
the horrible thing about these quotes. Rarely does the article giving you the quote also give you the question.
Right. We don't know the whole context. We don't know everything for him, but that quote just sounds, it makes for a great soundbite. It makes for something great for people to share. But it also, to me, reads as somebody kind of, like you said, sort of wishing into the nether about what you hope to be. Like, come on, they ain't going to send me to NXT. Like, or, you know, like, no, that's, it's not going to happen. You're not going to see, like you said, you're not going to see a main roster person on TNA programming. You're not going to see a TNA personality.
Right.
Yet. I won't say that they won't, but it's if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Jordan Grace. But
right. After she has her run in NXT, like, she's probably going to come out of this as the biggest beneficiary, in all honesty, whenever her deal is up, who knows?
Well, I mean, it's great for TNA. Like, it is very much a much more beneficial thing for TNA than it is for the WWE. Here's the other thing, Greg, I don't know if you saw this. It's not the only place where we're letting, or we're doing some talent bleeding in different ways. You know, is it as big a deal that Io Sky is going back to where is she going to wrestle?
She's going to Marigold in Japan, which is the promotion that started by the former guy who ran Stardom.
Right. So, and I'm not saying that's anywhere the same as what we're dealing with here. And yet it's also something that I think is unusual for what we've known WWE to do and be. And so as we were just talking about Triple H's storytelling, I think he is good from a get excited about fresh talent. Like, I think he'll find new ways to bring fresh talent in that is exciting. And this is it. I just don't know that it's going to be somebody from another company showing up on Raw or SmackDown necessarily. we've yet to have a TNA men's TNA wrestler in a Royal Rumble.
No, it's just been Jordan Grace and Mickie James.
Right.
But Mickie James was different because Mickie James had the WWE history to her.
The history.
Before she made that move.
And I also would wager, though, that by her doing that, it allowed Jordan Grace to do what she did, that she was not only there, but, you know, again, getting to represent
championship.
I think
the fact that, because I honestly believe, and I said this 2 years ago when it happened, and I believe it today, I think when Vince McMahon suggested Mickie James for the Royal Rumble, he had no fucking clue that she was in TNA, let alone the Knockouts champion or the Impact Wrestling Knockouts.
Oh, yeah, he did. He had no idea.
Champion. No. He had no clue. But even like they showed a video of Roxanne Perez's title and Jordan Grace's title. And I shared it on social media. I was like, AEW did not do this much. And man, did the idiots come after me. They were like, Impact's ratings shot up because of that for one episode. One episode they went up and then they plummeted after that. They had one good pay-per-view and then it plummeted after that. Rich Swann still hasn't recovered.
Right.
Rich Swann was the Impact Wrestling World Champion when Kenny Omega showed up and security wouldn't let Rich Swann in the building. He immediately loses the title to Kenny Omega and he ain't done shit since then. I think he was a digital champion at some point, but he has done fuck all since then. He has not recovered.
He stands around in backstage vignettes a lot.
Yeah, and not only that, but like now he hangs out with AJ Francis, Top Dollar. But and at the same time, like again, I go back to it. Kenny Omega lost the TNA World Championship to Christian Cage, an AEW wrestler who then lost it to Josh Alexander. They didn't let Josh Alexander beat Kenny Omega. And people criticize me for that. Like, this guy thinks Josh Alexander should have beat Kenny Omega. Oh my God, LOL. But it was so cool that Christian... And remember, this was not the Christian character that everybody loves today in AEW. This was not your father, Christian Cage, and the character who legitimately was good enough to main event, you know, multiple AEW pay-per-views at this time. This was mid-card, bland, milquetoast Christian Cage that got to beat Kenny Omega.
Yeah, can we go back to who I speculate would be the first male superstar, male TNA wrestler to show up? It's Joe Henry.
I think so. Like, he's the one Joe with Henry. The most, yeah. He's got the most behind him. He really does.
It's Joe, yeah, I mean... Joe Hendry, that's the one that makes the most sense to me. I love Josh Alexander; he's a great wrestler. He just doesn't look like a big deal. Like if he comes out, maybe he does. I don't know.
Josh Alexander for me, I don't think he's a surprise. I think Josh Alexander is a coming from TNA. Video package guy. You have Ethan Page talking about him since they know each other so well. And you kind of tell the story. You have Jordan Grace talking about him. Like you built him up through video packages. Because Josh Alexander is a guy you bring in and do more with. Joe Hendry, Joe Hendry's like, you know, you hotshot whatever you do.
He plays fucking song as he walks down the...
And they will go nuts. Yeah, and he's like a million downloads on his song. Like, it's just crazy the stuff that he's been able to do. And so, yeah, there are two different scenarios, but I think you would build up a Josh Alexander if you brought him in.
And then, you know, to bring this full circle back to Moose. and again, Moose is their current champ right now.
Correct.
Good for him. Nobody cares, Moose. Like, I'm saying this to you, nobody cares. Moose cares, and he should care.
He's low key. Moose is low key, is what he is.
Well, and it's funny. We've seen Moose in person. He's a big guy.
Right.
He's not that big a guy. And what about him is impressive in a WWE ring with WWE talent? That sets him apart and would allow the WWE to be like, this guy's a big deal, or this is exciting. You know, Pat McAfee has referenced Joe Hendry on the air. Josh Alexander, like, looks, has a unique look about him, even if you were to do the build thing that you have. Right. Like, if he keeps his singlet, like, hell, you bring him in and you have him face Chad Gable.
Right.
like, to start. But you could do that and you could sell that. And Moose, he's a guy.
Yeah, I don't know where Moose fits in WWE at all. I mean,
he doesn't even do the fist bump thing anymore where people can yell Moose.
They probably would, though, if he came out in Orlando. That's the Orlando crowd. Like, what do you, I mean, and this is, and Moose would hate this. What do you do with Moose other than have him lose to Trick?
Right.
Or defend his title against another, you know, Josh Briggs, somebody, and that's it. Like, it's, you know, what do you do with him? I don't know. I have no idea what you do. But the thing that people got to remember is that it's got to benefit WWE in the end. Like, they're the top of the heap. They're literally the top right. of the mountain. They have no reason to do any of this unless there's a benefit for them. And I think in this, like Jordynne Grace has talked about it. She's had multiple conversations with WWE when her contract was up and chose not to go. This entire thing could be about telling Jordynne Grace, look what life will be like for you when your contract is up if you come over. Yeah, that might be their sole motivation. Their sole motivation might be to someday sign Jordynne Grace.
And they're doing all Ron of this.
No, right.
Because we don't know any better in the WWE. Just put the family together.
Right. But for me, I just don't. The crossover, there can be some fun crossover stuff. I don't think there's going to be impactful crossover stuff.
Yeah, I was like, I'm about to bring up, because like even just thinking about who in the roster, outside of the two names that we just did, Mustafa Ali coming back, that would work.
Would he want to? I don't know. Maybe.
No. you know, Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards aren't going anywhere. Alicia Edwards and Masha Slamovich aren't going anywhere. So that then takes us. Oh, and I'm sorry, AJ Francis. I never knew you. Hardly knew you. But then you start looking at the rest of this roster, and I don't know who really screams to me, yes, get over to, you know, bring this guy over and make him special.
Yeah, I can't outside of Josh Alexander. And again, I even said, like, you got to do a build. And Joe Henry, which I think is more short-term than long-term.
Right, and that's the thing is Joe Henry is a one-off sort of, or a short-run-off sort of guy.
Yeah. So I got a couple of things I want to bring up and talk about as well. Number one, Backlash. I really liked the Apex. I think they got to make some changes to it to make it work. I don't think it's the last we've seen of NXT at the Apex at all, but I've been speculating on that since the TKO purchase. So that's, of course, what I'm going to say. Ethan Page was fine in his match with Trick Williams. Yeah. I thought it was good. He argued with the ref. He ate the Trick knee, the Trick shot, and then it was over. The wrong match main evented that show. That show should have been main evented by Roxanne Perez and Jordynne Grace. I don't think Ethan Page should have even made an appearance until either this tonight's edition of NXT or Battleground when he would attack Trick Williams with whoever he beat. But women should have main evented Battleground. This is becoming a pattern. And it's not a good pattern, but for some reason, not a lot of people seem to care. They have done less for the women under Triple H's leadership than they have under prior leadership. Now, I don't know if it's because Stephanie's not there. I don't know. But I get that The Rock was coming back, and you had The Rock's first match back in whatever number of years. There were 7 matches on night one of WrestleMania. You can't convince me that what they did with The Rock, Roman, Seth, and Cody couldn't have been match 4 or 5 of that night and let Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley have the night one main event. Mm-hmm. We just had WrestleMania 40. Women haven't been in a WrestleMania event since 37. And one of them was Sasha Banks.
Inexcusable.
Exactly. Like, I get that we had the tag team main event last year. And look, last year we were telling Tunney, Rhea and Charlotte aren't going to main event. It was going to be the tag team match. Like we were calling it. But the year before, you had Austin and his match with Kevin Owens. That didn't have to be the main event position of that card, especially when Austin got a huge pop the next night when he came out. Like, I just feel like you've got to be intentional with it. And Rhea Ripley main evented the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, but that's it. There have been some main events on Raw and SmackDown, and that's fine. But that's been it. Not only that, but like when we've had Damian Priest and Cody Rhodes on the same pay-per-view, Cody is always the main event. It's never Damian Priest. Like, you've got to spread the wealth a little bit so that things can grow and people can grow. That was Jordan Grace and Roxanne Perez's main event match. That was. And they didn't get to do it. And it's just that there's just something wrong with it for me. And maybe I'm grasping at straws. Maybe there's nothing there, but it just seems like, I don't know. It just seems like something's off with the lack of.
It feels like we worked
that push.
I mean, you go back to 37, and it feels like there was so much work and effort just to build the women's division as this big deal. And I mean, before we even started the show, or when I was rambling and you didn't record it, like. We had the match with Io Sky and Lyra Valkyria.
Valkyria, yes.
And I'm like, I'd actually heard of her, but I didn't see anything special about her or the story. Like, Damage Control is struggling and Io's trying to fix it. I did for a minute. I was like, is Asuka on SmackDown? Is that where Asuka is? Like,
she's hurt. Asuka? Asuka's injured. Asuka's injured and might be having surgery.
Oh, okay. So shows what I know. But again, you talk about voids. Like, honestly, I get that they're the women's tag champs, but you got to put Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill like on every second of your television for the women's division. Like, you got it. Like, Bayley's supposed to be special. I don't know what she's doing over on the other brand, but.
And Bayley's another case. Everyone knew she was going to win the Rumble. Everyone knew she was going to win the title at WrestleMania.
Right.
Paint by numbers. And that, I think, hurts people.
But even in watching Raw, I couldn't tell you that, like, the women do not feel like a focal point at all. As big a part of the company of what they're doing right now as they were, you know, 3 years ago, as you pointed out. And maybe that's because we're missing maybe we had more strong personalities and characters. Maybe we are missing a Mercedes Moné. We're definitely missing a Charlotte Flair. Like, you're feeling that vacancy, like that void. Like, she's special. And I think that matters. Asuka can be special. Bayley is special. But what are we doing with Bayley right now, now that she's won her championship? Like, honestly, I don't know because I haven't watched SmackDown. What is she doing, Greg?
She's feuding with Piper Niven. And will be defending her title against Piper Niven at Clash at the Castle.
Which makes sense because Piper Niven is from that side of the pond.
Correct.
So I get why they're doing that. But Piper Niven, who I think could have been something different than what she is, like, we didn't exactly make her tough until later. It was weird. But whatever. There's nothing. It also just doesn't feel special with the talent that they have, with the way that they booked it, and you're feeling the void and the vacancy.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. And it is interesting where they're at with it. But who knows? Like, it's we got to see.
And this is the other thing. We talked so much. Like, I'm gonna go back to this. I know she's not where we want her to be as an in-ring worker. And I don't know that she's really there as a talker either. The look is there. But Jade Cargill feels like somebody who I hope they don't push too fast, but they might want to start thinking about pushing differently soon. Because you know, her holding the tag belts, which I'm assuming is a way to get her more time in a ring where somebody can cover shortcomings, is an opportunity to make something bigger.
She definitely needs that time. They didn't want to send her to NXT, and they should have. Like, right. That's just so they've got to try to give her as much as possible. And maybe she's working out in NXT during the week, and we just don't know it. Who knows? Right. But she's not there in the ring. She's not there as a promo person. All she has is presence, and that's you know, sizzle and no steak. Like, that's right. It's and it's sad too, because look at someone like Bron Breakker, who spent several years down in NXT and now has come up to the main roster and is doing so well, they reportedly are changing plans to do more with him and make him an even bigger right. deal, even quicker.
Well, he's Brock Lesnar right now, dude. He's a fucking force.
He is. He definitely is, and he's got a hell of a career ahead of him, which is just very interesting as we look at, you know, the future and the potential of the future. You know, it's funny. We talked about Cody, and we talked about Damian Priest and where they're at. And again, the storytelling taking too long. Nia Jax and Gunther win King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, and now we have to wait till SummerSlam for them to really do anything substantial, because that's when their title shots are. If Gunther becomes champion at SummerSlam, now we're happy again? I don't know.
Also, can we... We got to find different ways to give people title shots. Like, winning a thing.
I agree with you. Which I is agree funny with you.
Because on the same hand, AJ Styles didn't win a thing to get a title shot. He lost.
He did the first time. His first title shot came because he won a thing on SmackDown.
Okay. But you know what I mean. Like...
Yeah, he beat LA Knight. Like, they had qualifying match, and then he beat LA Knight. And Jey Uso won a multi-man match on Raw to get his shot at Damian Priest. So but it is. It, so there's again, a lot of, we're feuding because.
I earned a right
to it. I earned it, yeah. It's like back in the old days, they would announce two random wrestlers in a match for WrestleMania of like a 14-match WrestleMania. Then they would start attacking each other. But not until after the match was announced. Like, the reason they didn't like each other was because now they had to wrestle each other. And it's just, yeah, we're qualifying and winning title shots now.
Which, I guess if you want to make it seem more sporty, makes sense.
But it's not a really sport.
Right, but that's not what the WWE is. And so, but every time, when every title shot... Our title defense that a guy has to have or a gal has to have comes as a result of somebody winning a thing, and not really because there's any other sort of build or beef. Like, I honestly, I would rather AJ, after, you know, rather than earning a title shot, I would have rather we had a why AJ why sort of moment first. Instead of doing whatever, like, in the order of all these things that have happened with AJ Styles, the fake retirement thing happening after he's already had a shot seems...
And after Nick Aldis tells him in the backstage promo, you have to go to the back of the line now, or you have to earn it. That's going to take some time. And he's just saying, I don't have time. And so AJ did what he did to jump back to the front of the line. Like, I get that. And I'm cool with all that. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think AJ should win the damn title.
Right.
And because Cody's better on the chase. And that's just the way it is. And AJ getting one more run with the title before he... Because he's eventually going to retire. This is probably his last thing. Like we know that. Or he might go into Rey Mysterio mode where he does a few things here and there and not a ton. But I just think it would be more exciting if AJ was the champion. You know, I really do. Who knows? It's just a very... It's a weird time, and maybe by the time we get to fall, but it also is. It's that just shows you how good Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins are, because no one could follow them. You know, it's like you never want to be the coach who takes over a program after a legend, like you just don't, because rarely does it work out well for you because all the comparisons. It's really hard to find, especially Roman Reigns, but even the job Seth Rollins did over the course of the year that he was champion. But it's just hard. They made it nearly impossible to follow them, and that's being proven by what we're seeing now. So kudos to them for being how talented they are. And kudos to Roman. I mean, Roman literally got himself into the best shape possible, showed up at WrestleMania looking unbeatable, and then, of course, lost. He did everything he could to make Cody look like a star. But now Roman's gone, and what does everybody want? They want Roman back.
So. You don't. Sometimes you just don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Yeah,
as Mick Jagger once said.
But then so we kind of wonder what's going on and right now whatever. But then we talk about a guy like Bron Breakker, and you're like, the future is pretty damn bright.
If the story's pretty damn, if the story's done right, like Goldberg his ass, damn it, Goldberg his ass.
They kind of are Goldberging him without Goldberging him, if you think about it.
Right. Goldberg his ass slash Brock Lesnar his ass. Do you like you have your next monster?
Oh yeah. Like he should if he doesn't win the next Royal Rumble, he needs to eliminate 15, 16 people from the Royal Rumble and take over that record. Like he needs to, you know, he needs to get everything possible that he can. Because it didn't make a sense for him to be in King of the Ring because he would have lost because they obviously wanted Gunther to win. So it made sense for him to use that as motivation to destroy everything that Adam Pearce is trying to do. But like, okay, he wrote Ricochet off, so Ricochet's gone now and he'll have his day with Ilya Dragunov again and all that. But like, you got to keep doing stuff even if we're just feeding things to Braun.
Right. Let me ask you this because he's another what's next. Like, How long do you have him run through people? Do you have him run through people to the title, or do you have him lose somewhere along the way so that his first like real loss early in his career isn't him losing his world championship?
I hate the undefeated world champion.
Like if he wins the title, if he wins a title, maybe it's not the title. Whatever he wins, it needs to be Gunther-esque. I want Gunther. Frankly, like, and I hate that we have to, like, as you said, that we don't wait till SummerSlam to do it. I think they're waiting for Gunther.
I think they are too. And again, it's because, and they want to put the moments like that in SummerSlam, in WrestleMania. Right. Like, I would be fine if Gunther won the title on television. Right. Like, TV still your primary source of revenue.
Never happen again.
Oh. Yeah. So it's or on Netflix or wherever, like it's there's a lot of different ways to do things, and Triple H is kind of reversing to where things can only happen in certain places. But with Bron Breakker, he'll probably win the Intercontinental Championship this year. Like he'll probably do that. Gunther lost. He lost by count out to Chad Gable, and then he lost to Sami Zayn, and both of those were big losses. Like the Sami Zayn one was built, the Chad Gable one, no one thought he was going to lose by count out, but it was by count out. He didn't lose his title. Like, it was a shocking moment, and it was a good shocking moment when they did it. But for Braun, he may have lost matches, or he may lose a match here or there by disqualification when he just is unrelenting and not, you know, and shoves a ref or does whatever. But it's like, yeah, they're going to build him up to the point like, Or maybe he, you know, who does he destroy? Like, eventually he's going to have to destroy Braun Strowman or somebody. Like, because there's just not going to be anybody left to destroy. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Or can somebody outsmart him? And how does that make Braun look? But Braun is the damn future. They just got to be... Do they have to be careful with it? Or if you're so damn talented, can you overcome if they're not careful with it? Who knows? Like, it just... Double-edged sword. You know, it's if you're undeniable, I know I'm stealing that word from Cody Rhodes, even though he may not be, but if you're undeniable, you're undeniable. And Bron Breakker does seem to be that. It's funny too, because at the draft time, everybody was complaining that we weren't putting Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin together as a team like we did in NXT. They were like, oh, they're so perfect. Why break them up? And now no one's asking for that at this point. Like no one is. And they could still go back to that down the road if they want to. So, again, be careful what you wish for, because
they aren't doing it.
But it's a then what scenario. We do have Clash at the Castle this weekend, and we do have 5 announced matches. I think that's also getting a little bit too little. Like I think we could do 6 on some of these events. Like, so let's just run them down real quick. Patrick O'Dowd. We've kind of talked about most of them already, but We'll see if we think any titles are changing hands. Who knows? We do have the Women's World Tag Team Champions, like you talked about, where Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are defending their titles in a triple threat match against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, which are the locals, and against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Any chances they're losing?
No.
Yeah, even though we have some of the hometown heroes in this match, I cannot imagine them losing. So, yeah. We do have Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship. This one is a little more difficult to choose.
I'm going to go with Chad. I'm going to go with Chad Gable beating Sami Zayn.
It is weird because Sami just kind of won the title at WrestleMania, so it hasn't been that long. But Chad Gable is on fire right now. He could lose. Excuse me. Because of Otis, Akira Tozawa, or Maxine Dupree, who are going to be there. They could cost him and take that turn with the story they're telling with the Alpha Academy.
I hate that. I hate that for Chad, but that's just me.
But a Chad Gable Otis feud could be fun. It can't be long, but it could be fun.
Yeah, but we just spent how much time on this show today talking about long feuds?
Oh, I know.
And that, honestly, what I would love is for Otis and company, you know, and Maxine and Tozawa. Like, I'd love for them to all to turn on Chad, and yet Chad somehow still wins. And we go from there, but no.
You know, it's funny because Chad Gable's been saying things like Maxine's not any good. Tozawa's, you know, losing all the time. Like Otis has lost his fire. They could also turn around, help Chad Gable win, and then be like, he was right. They could go that route because then they'd all get massive heat. If Maxine Dupree shows up and was like, I did stink. Like she could do that. And people would, you know, and then she would draw massive heat.
And then the internet would be like, she's not lying.
Right, exactly. The internet was the ones that were complaining about her, so who knows. We do have the I Quit match. We forgot about that part of the stipulation. The I Quit match for the WWE Championship as Cody Rhodes defends against AJ Styles. Any chance that Cody's losing this title?
I don't think so. I think he's going to get AJ to say I quit.
Especially being an I Quit match. I can't see them having Cody quit. You know, I just don't. Right.
That's not what you do in your Cody Rhodes. He passes out from the pain, maybe, but.
We have Bailey.
We're both running out of gas today, by the way.
I know, right? Well, I told you, I can't drink any caffeine right now. So, yeah, I'm tired as crap. We do have Scotland-born Piper Niven challenging Bailey for the WWE Women's Championship.
See, I'm struggling with this, and I don't know if it's just because I'm trying to find a surprise somewhere. I don't think Piper Niven's winning. Like, I think it's going to be Bailey. But I feel like I'm very chalky on the old.
It's WWE tradition. Though. They're chalky themselves. So, and then we have Damian Priest, Judgment Day banned from ringside, defending against Drew McIntyre.
Damian Priest.
I think Drew McIntyre is going to win. I think he's going to win. And here's the funny part. The Judgment Day is banned from ringside.
Right.
And that's Dirty Dom Mysterio, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh. And technically Rhea Ripley. That's not Carlito, who's been running with the Judgment Day lately.
It's true.
That's not Liv Morgan.
Also true.
Who's not booked on a match for a match on this card, but could very well show up and do something to either help Priest win or cause Priest to lose or backfire, furthering this stuff, especially if Finn Balor's going to turn and he got Liv Morgan to do this. And now part of me thinks if Drew McIntyre doesn't win this match, there will be a fucking riot in Scotland. That's a possibility as well. But this could also be the chance that we have for Cody not to be in the main event. So that's another possibility too. Who knows? But the one good thing about these events is we had Backlash from France. We had SmackDown from France for Backlash. We had SmackDown from Saudi Arabia for King and Queen of the Ring. Now we have Backlash from Scotland. Like, these international episodes of Backlash of SmackDown have been a ton of fun as well. So, right. And we do have that. We're going to do one more thing really quick, and then we'll come back, and it'll make sense as to why we're doing that. It'll make sense to Patrick O'Dowd as to why we're doing that. So play commercial number two, because I got to put commercial number one in. Here we go.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, we know you've watched certain amounts of Raw last night. We've talked about it a little bit. I have a question for you about that. What was your favorite part of Raw that you've seen so far?
From this week's
episode? From this week's episode of Raw. You told me off air. What was your favorite part of Raw?
Are you talking about me just reacting to the Judgment Day story? Or
no, I'm not talking about you reacting to Judgment Day story. I'm talking about something you called a long time ago.
Yeah. My boy from the Empyrean.
Yes.
I asked you to give me my flowers because a couple of years ago, we were discussing the Imperium and we picked our guys. And I was like, I see something. And I'm actually kind of excited for this because, you know, I called Roman Reigns.
You did?
Years ago. And didn't get the flowers right away from my own best friend.
It's true.
So I want to hear you just compliment me by rolling back the clock.
Well, now wait a minute.
On this particular call that I called.
Has Kaiser done anything yet?
Doesn't matter. You know he's going to.
I believe he's going to. I firmly believe he's going to.
Ludwig Kaiser looks like I just feel like I would like to hear Patrick. He's looked like a big fucking deal, guys, right? You know, and he does this vignette, he cuts his promo where eliminated? Is that what it said? What it would
be? Yeah, he kept saying eliminated, yeah.
Like, eliminated. Eliminated. I was like, I love it. It's great. I loved that whole thing. I loved everything about that. Way better than him trying to steal Otis's girl back in the day. Like, thank God they got away from that. But, you know, he declares himself as entering into the Money in the Bank qualifying matches. He hasn't gotten in yet.
As has Jey Uso, yes.
God damn it. I don't want you to win Money in the Bank. I want you to have a more organic way to get to the world title. I don't want you to be that guy. I mean, you know, if you do. I'll celebrate that
which,
too.
Which, him having Money in the Bank and Gunther being World Heavyweight Champion does make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Would be a story. And I'm just jealous that he's, you know, with Tiffany Stratton.
I get that. Ludwig Kaiser 2 years ago when Imperium was starting their rise on the main roster. And it's weird, too, because they did a Ludwig vignette back in, like, January. Just a random Ludwig vignette 1 week of Raw. And then just kind of never went back to it. And now here we are. And it wasn't the same vignette, obviously, because this one was topical and current with what he had been doing. But in that vignette, no mention of Imperium, no mention of Gunther, none of that. Just purely, like, I wonder if Imperium's done, and we just don't know it yet.
I mean, maybe.
You don't need it, to be fully honest with you. Unless they're going to tell a story, if Ludwig does hold the briefcase and Gunther is World Heavyweight Champion, then cool, keep them together and tell the story because it's going to elevate everybody. But, like, not every stable faction has to break up dramatically. Sometimes you can just move on.
Here's the other thing. He can carry the case and you can talk about their history without needing them to still be in Imperium.
Right.
Like, you don't need that, like, at all.
Exactly. They could have grown out of it. Who knows?
All like, right, but you are yawning into the microphone.
I know. I'm trying not to, but I can't help myself. But Patrick O'Dowd, you did call Ludwig Kaiser as the guy. And we all knew Gunther, but Ludwig Kaiser as the guy from his partnership with Giovanni Vinci, who's done fuck all since the draft and since he was attacked and eliminated. And he was in the eliminated vignette. I fully expect him to show back up in NXT. Maybe he wins that battle royal next week that Cody was pushing and is the one to challenge Trick Williams. Who knows? But because he would be from a different locker room, as Cody said. But I'm excited for Ludwig. Ludwig, I was not high on Ludwig at one point. Ludwig has won me over. I could be like, Ludwig had to win me over, but that just sounds, you know, narcissistic of me. But he shouldn't have had to win me over, but he sure as fuck has won me over. So I'm good. I'm good on Ludwig, and I do think the future is very bright for Ludwig Kaiser. And the fact that he's with Tiffany Stratton, you know what? Good on you, Ludwig. Good on you. So there you have it. Two extremely tired podcasters who still podcasted for almost an hour and 20 minutes with zero plan going in. That's what we do. We talk about wrestling. We have a lot of fun. What happens next week, we'll see. We've got Clash at the Castle. It's going to give us some stuff. The World of Pro Wrestling is always very giving, so we'll see what we have. Maybe we do another list. I had a list idea for today that I would bust out if we needed to. It's the kind of list we could have done with no preparation. So I had one that maybe we can bust it if we need to. But who knows? We'll find out. But
We still got that little exercise to play that I brought up about a month or so ago too. Would 40-something year old Patrick and Greg like wrestling from when they were in their 20s?
That's true. Yeah, it's true. We can do that too. So we got plenty. We got plenty that we can do in between vacations and kids moving out and all of that stuff. So we will make it happen. But he's losing Twitter followers, so go follow Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist, like there is one in Patrick, like there is one in friend, for the best friend, for the Wrestling Realist, for Patrick O'Dowd. So go follow him. I'm at GregDeMarco44. The website is at ChairShot Media. Go visit thechairshot.com for podcasts, articles, coverage, so much more. It's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And do that. Until next time, just remember to always use your head.
It's time!
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Acknowledge me.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.